everybody. I'm Sophie, and welcome to Milk Talk. Make your life fabulous. We like to talk about just about anything here, from parenting and money issues to sex and dating.
I like that.
That song is called Take Off Your Clothes, by the way. It was actually written by Jim Fennable. You can find it on Holding Space.
Love it.
On iTunes, if you're interested. Huh. Thank you for listening today. We like to entertain you and hopefully inspire you a little bit on the way. I'm a psychologist, a life coach, an author, and mother of two beautiful girls, if I do say so myself. If you ever want to write to me and ask me an advice question, I'm full of free advice. You can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable, or you can email me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com. I would be happy to answer your questions in a future show. I'm full of it, so hit me up. There you go.
You're full of it in a good way.
Completely. No. I got my buddy here. My show buddy's here. Yay! She was here for the last episode. And I'm super lucky because she's amazingly intelligent and lovely and has actually read my book and wants to talk about it a little bit. But we'll get to that in a bit. Right now, please welcome the lady with the sultry voice, a second grade teacher, mom, and singer in a band called Punch the Clown. She's here with us again, ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Anderson. Woo!
Thank you, everybody.
How are you? Are you
Hello
so good?
Again.
I am
fantastic.
At the beginning,
I got. You know what? I love that song. Is that was Jim's?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a good tune.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a few songs on that album. It's called Holding Space that are really good to work out to. If you can't get through the last 10 minutes of your workout, you should listen to Jack in the Club. That'll just
Get you going.
Yeah. It's good.
I love it. Can you get it on?
You can get it on iTunes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It's a very interesting album. It's an electronica album. It was his first album, and it's like kind of like strange. You either love it or hate it. But most people say I love to clean the house to it or exercise to it. It's like really.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, I had a lot of fun working on that with him. Like, I don't know, it was a while
Mute
back.
The videos and just listen to music, which is my thing. Once you get the exercise videos down, you don't need to listen to the directions.
Yes.
I play music.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because their music always sucks.
One of the things I really like about this, it's actually like Bob and Julia Powers, they're like champion ballroom dancers. They did these a series of DVDs. I wish I could remember the name right now. I'm totally plugging it for them. But the music is cool because it's mostly like drums, you know, and when it's that, you know, you don't really get sick of it. You just feel the rhythm, you know, and I really appreciated that it wasn't...
I love that.
You know, yeah. So
I've actually gone to dance classes that had someone drumming.
I love that.
At first I thought, what the
no,
WTF?
That's super
but
cool.
No, it was fantastic.
Yeah, my friend Jelena, who's an incredible belly dancer, she would bring in live drummers a lot for her classes too.
It's such a great
super
idea.
Cool. Super cool.
Yeah.
Belly dancing is one of those awesome hobbies that you can just do and enjoy and not be good at and just get in touch with all things feminine about yourself.
Yes.
Super
and
cool.
Let go of the critic of your body.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That is like
so
the
awesome.
Body acceptance dance form.
It's awesome. My sister started belly dancing late in life and oh my God, she's a natural. It's amazing to watch her.
Ooh.
It's so cool. It's so cool. So yeah, so we're going to, we've spent the last episode just talking about, you know, dance and creativity and feeding your soul and making time for that, you know? So I'm going to share with you, though, because I thought you might find this. This is a segment I like to call Random Shit from the Internet.
Ooh.
So
I love random shit from the Internet.
I found a list of the top 10 romantic foods. And I got to say, I was a little dumbfounded by some of them. Number one being asparagus.
What?
Right? It apparently stirs up the lust in a man and a woman, according to...
Asparagus?
An English herbalist.
Tell me what's hot about the smell of your pee you eat asparagus. Because that is just foul.
Because that's the only thing anybody thinks of when they're eating asparagus, is that my pee
later
is going
my pee is
gonna
smell foul.
Funny.
Right.
So, and then be sort of fascinated how quickly it smells funny. Like, it's just the whole...
And how long it takes for the asparagus to run itself out of your system.
How could this possibly... I just think, well, this guy,
that's interesting.
This is 17th century shit, you know, so... Whatever.
You know how they were back in the 17th century.
You know, if I did live then, I don't really want to remember it.
Yeah, shit was weird back then.
Well, and smelly.
Very smelly.
You know, it's just, I don't know. That's not sexy to me. I like a clean man. Clean man out of the shower. Ay.
No. You didn't have that in the 17th century.
No. And number two was almonds.
Almonds.
Which is interesting. Apparently, Samson wooed Delilah with the almonds. I do think about, like, you know, just when you eat nuts and you get stuff in your teeth and it just doesn't.
So do you think it was rare to find almonds?
They might have been special.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were special nuts.
It's like exotic. It was an exotic food then.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Almonds.
Yeah. Maybe it's the shape too. I don't know.
They're like womb shaped?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Just thinking. I don't know. We're stretching here. And then number three
smoked almonds are especially sexy.
Yeah, baby. Spicy.
Smoky.
Oh, you just keep talking. Just tell us a bedtime story, Hillary. Just keep talking.
This is my sultry voice. Smoked almonds.
Now I want some almonds. All right. Yeah. So you really should make a living at that.
It's my second job.
Yeah, I know.
If teaching fails, I'll then, go
yeah,
there.
You just gotta
the sex
back
lines.
It up with the, remember the 900 number?
Oh,
back in the day when people had phones.
Quaint now.
I
yeah,
know, right?
Right?
I mean, now they have like cameras that they talk into.
Yeah.
Truffles are number three, and I don't mean like chocolate truffles because that could maybe get me going. Oh. But the mushroom, you know,
mushrooms.
The truffle. I don't know.
Ew. Is it the truffle oil?
Truffles. Huh. I just can't see feeding my lover.
I don't think I've ever had a truffle. I've had mushrooms.
No,
how would I know the difference?
I think I've only had them on top of I ordered some sushi once that had like a truffle on it.
Oh.
Came to find out it was $24 an order. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It tasted like an incredible steak or something. This piece of sushi with this truffle on it tasted like. Like I said, it was like, wow, this is like a different thing. This isn't like sushi. It tastes like steak. It was incredible. And then somebody at the table ordered another order, which tallied up $48 on our
Oh, my
bill.
God.
Yeah,
so
I know. So
rare.
That won't be ordered again.
Yeah, that won't be on the list.
No,
it's like
very,
a portobello mushroom then.
Yeah, but
rich
like
and,
10 times the price.
But my God.
Yeah, I know.
That's
crazy.
Redonkulous.
So,
that's unacceptable.
And then there's chili peppers. Gets the blood flowing. I could see that, right?
I have heard that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now here's one that really surprised me. Okay. Watermelon. Nature's Viagra.
What? That's what it said? Nature's Viagra?
The citrulline is a phytonutrient found in the fruit, and it has the power to relax the blood vessels in a manner similar to the prescription erectile medication.
What?
I know. It's
Come
mostly in the white
on.
Part of the flesh.
Which nobody really
Well, actually,
tries
I like
eat.
That part, actually.
Do you?
I do. It's like kind of crispy and cold, but I like jicama, too. You know, I
oh,
like
okay.
That
so you like
of,
that
kind
almost
of bland,
refreshing.
Watery, yeah, sort of thing. I like that. But
okay, that's a really odd one,
but isn't
too.
That interesting?
Yeah.
I know.
Is that why it's so popular at picnics? People don't realize they're getting sexually aroused, but this conversation is so stimulating all of a sudden.
Stimulating, and you're eating that like pink fleshy stuff, and I don't know.
Let's run around.
Which is brings me to figs, which are apparently a sexy little fruit associated with girl parts and fertility.
Mm-hmm. I see that
in ancient times by Greeks considered more precious than gold.
Wow,
I know. I love figs. I love them. They're very, you know, like I said, my mom's Armenian. My grandpa had a fig tree. And,
oh, that's
you know,
right.
All that stuff.
Figs
never
are good.
Really thought of them as a sexy little fruit, but now I might.
Gosh, that's funny. What would you put on your list? Like if you were going to guess what a sexy food is?
Well, it's the first thing that comes to mind is actually number nine. I'm almost there.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get back to
that.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah.
So then you have one on this list.
But I mean,
okay.
I sort of think of, I think of, just food in general, I sort of think of presentation. Like, you know, when you go out and you eat sort of lovely food, you know, kind of like sushi and whatever. I don't feel like it's an aphrodisiac of sorts in the sense that the food itself is affecting me chemically.
Right.
I mean, I'm not surprised that foods would do that because anything that makes you feel good,
sure.
Which in that case, you know, coffee would be an aphrodisiac for
yes.
me.
Yes. Sure gives me a lot of energy to get to
it.
It
is, and I love the smell of it, and I love everything, you know, like kind of, it's like a sensual experience, you know? So I feel like, you know, lovely, sensual food, you know, is an aphrodisiac, you know?
See, for me, then that would be mangoes. For me, when I eat a mango, there's something about the sensual texture of the fruit.
Yeah.
And when I eat it, there's something about it that's very... It's
sensual.
It sort of sends me in a kind of a reverie.
Okay, well then we got to take you over to this restaurant that has this incredible salmon mango thing. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I would love that.
Okay. All right. And then I'm just going to watch your eyes roll back in your head when you eat it. That'd be great. And then they've got the goji berry, which, fuck the goji berry. These berries have the best publicist ever. I don't get it. It's like they do everything. They fucking do your dishes. They make you feel
good.
Did you
hear
that
goji berry? Fuck you.
They cure cancer. They make you skinny.
Right.
They do everything.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, yesterday it was pomegranates and acai berries.
Oh, and acai berries and raspberry ketones. Don't forget those. Yeah. I know. I'm telling you, anything you can stick in a bottle and sell for $35.
It's PR.
Fucking kills me.
Yeah.
Just kills me. Makes me mad.
What do they say is the reason for goji berries?
I don't know. I read it and I just said, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. It's the double fisted flick off.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So oysters, okay, which for me, I can't get over the texture.
I've always heard that.
But, well, okay, and this I did read to see why. High in zinc, which increases testosterone and dopamine too. As well, which is kind of a feel-good chemical. Uh-huh. And apparently Casanova ate like over 50 raw oysters a day.
Wow.
Dude was busy.
Whoa, I guess so.
I mean, with all that eating and all of that sex, like the guy was just busy. His day was just
And it is
full.
Kind of a slurpy, sexy experience, the oyster.
Yeah, I'm...
No? Is it gross to you?
No, I can't get over that. Yeah, the texture. I can eat sushi, but
oh no, it's totally different.
Different. I gotta say, okay,
loose and slurpy.
I'm not sure that I actually tried one. I think I've tried a baked oyster.
Oh, yeah, so you've never tried a raw oyster.
I know.
Can't anymore. I'm allergic now.
Oh,
in my late 20s, I suddenly became allergic to shellfish. So there you go.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's okay. I've got my mango.
That's true. See, mango's very similar, right?
It is.
But I like mango.
Oyster, the look of it is so specific. If you look down at it and talk about something looking a little bit graphic, like feminine build. Oh. I mean, you look at it and it kind of looks like a pussy.
Oh.
I mean, I know that sounds horrifyingly disgusting, like what kinds of pussies have you seen? But I'm just saying, like, I don't mean to say that this is...
I was going to say, pussies are not horrifyingly disgusting.
They're not. They are beautiful, wonderful, lovely things.
Women
appreciate and look at your own and love it.
Get a mirror.
But it does sort of look like a pile of clitorises. Maybe a... it does.
But not the right color.
Embrace that, in a kind of graying color.
Kind of gray, not feeling so well kind of color. Yeah, so anyhow. But that's why. It's the zinc, and which increases the testosterone, which, it's always a good thing.
Okay, good.
So, and then number 9, of course, which is the one that I think you can, guess, is chocolate.
Oh, chocolate.
Yeah. And I love dark chocolate. It increases your serotonin. It's delightful. It's always nice to get as a gift.
Yes.
I'll never give up chocolate.
No.
And chocolate-covered strawberries are always, romantic sort of
That's like
food.
A classic.
Like, you get the champagne and the chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, my God. I've got a story about that.
Please do tell.
Okay. It was, so Todd and I, it was our first anniversary. Okay. And I was thinking
Of
being married.
Okay.
And I was thinking I wanted to do something special. I wanted to book us a place out of town and do a romantic thing and that I would take it over. So I, and he was thinking, should I plan this? I said, I would like to do something.
Oh, nice.
So I looked online at hotels in Palm Springs.
Okay.
And, I've learned a lot since then about judging things by their photographs online.
Oh, yeah. Well, this had to be a while back, too,
was a long time ago. So there were no reviews
or anything.
You
guys have been married like 80 years now.
80
so before the internet.
Years. Exactly. This is a long...
long time.
This is when we had to go by the telegraph to find our booking.
Morse code.
So I see the pictures of this hotel, which look kind of cool. It looks sort of rustic looking, like the outside is kind of like stones almost, and it was supposed to be a spa hotel resort. I know you're frowning at me and thinking, how did you put where is it going? So I book this and then I call up and say, okay, so this is our anniversary and I want to do something romantic. And so what I'm thinking is, would you have a bottle of champagne there? Mm-hmm. And would you get some chocolate-covered strawberries?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing it back to
romantic,
what you're talking about.
Yes.
Romantic, and have those in the room for when we get there. Nice. And there's this long pause. And he said, so you want chocolate-covered strawberries? And I should have immediately, if the person answering the phone at a hotel says that, I should have just immediately known that this was not, he had no idea. This was the wrong place.
Oh, shit.
Because any maitre d', any hotel would say, "What? Of course.
Of course.
Like, this is something
$5
we've heard.
$5 per strawberry, problem.
That's exactly right. Like, we have a company we work with for just this thing, the romantic getaway. And he said, okay,
this
so.
This is part of the anniversary package.
That's right. Someone who gets away to Palm Springs would want this. So, and a bottle of champagne? I said, yeah, just one. And I'm thinking, maybe it's the amount. And I'm, and so anyway, I book this and we go up.
Oh, no.
And when we pull up to the hotel, it looks like, the outside of it looks like the Flintstones house, where it's like all, and it was, I think at the time it was pink. So it was all pink cement rock in this like really jagged formation. It was so tacky. But I still thought, well, maybe it's like a fun comment, commentary, like Art Deco, like it's jokey. And it's going to be
kitschy.
It's going to be kitschy. Like, inside it'll be all 50s or something.
Yeah.
And we walk inside and half of the spa is shut down for renovations, which they didn't tell us on the phone. So no massages. Thank you on our anniversary getaway. And I said, okay, that's fine. Cause we just want to get to our room and have sex all weekend. Anyway, it's I will give him the massage.
Right.
So we go up to the room and I open the door and it's like a bad Motel 6. It's so run down. And
this is going to make me cry.
I started to get a little emotional. I actually did.
Yeah.
And then I looked down and there's this, on the ground is a tiny little fridge. Like it had been brought into the room and put there just recently.
Oh.
And really proudly, the guy showing us to our room said, and per your request, I have your champagne and your chocolate-covered strawberries. And he opens the fridge and there's a bottle of $10 Korbel in there.
Okay.
And then there's a carton from Ralph's in the green carton, the strawberries, a carton of strawberries. And then with flourish, he pulls out a bottle of Hershey's syrup. And he's like, and here's the chocolate for your strawberries. And I burst into tears. It was the saddest moment. I said,
I'm sorry.
This is not what I wanted. And he looked so upset. He said, you know what? And he's like hitting his forehead. He said, I knew it. This isn't what you wanted at all, is it? And I was crying. This is our anniversary and I just can't stay here.
I'm so sorry.
And he said, you know what? Just carry your stuff back down to the lobby. And he actually walked us back out to the lobby, canceled our reservation, and called a place in town and called around until he found a place that he knew was nice. And he set us up for the weekend in another hotel.
Oh, my God. What a sweetheart.
He was really, because it was the most ridiculously awful setup for definitely the pinnacle was the Hershey syrup.
Did you snag the chocolate syrup for later?
Yeah, I'll take the Hershey syrup, of course. We're going to leave with the strawberries and the Hershey syrup. Yeah, we'll take that. Right?
Okay, we'll make that work.
Chocolate covered strawberries. Because
in a fancier room.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was so, that
no,
was so
it's
bad.
A little dicey going out to the desert, like, you know, to Palm Desert. And you don't know what you're going to end
we
up
had
with
never been.
Out there. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Poor honey.
And now I'm so much more discriminating.
But was it,
what
oh,
I
it was
book.
A good, it was a good weekend.
Oh, it was,
ultimately.
After that, it was fantastic. And the maitre d' had already heard the massage not happening story. Oh. And he said, I have someone who can massage you tonight.
Oh.
And it was, yeah. They went
so
all
nice.
Out. Yes, he had one maitre d' to the other.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's
so all's
story.
Well that ends
Thank
well.
Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. That's, oh my God. I just like almost burst into tears for you. It's like, wow. Okay. Well,
Todd
okay,
kind of looked over at me. He didn't want to ruin it because he wasn't sure.
Like, yeah,
he didn't want to hurt my feelings. He's like, hell, this is
fine. It's going to be fine.
We'll be fine here. I said, yeah. Todd, I can't, I don't even think I feel safe sleeping on that bed.
Wow. Okay. Well,
he was a good
awesome.
Sport, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
you don't have any avocado stories, do you? Because I've got
no,
avocados
I don't have any
coming
avocado
next.
Stories.
Okay. All right. Because apparently the Aztecs, this is the last one. This is okay. The Aztecs named the avocado tree was Ahuacuatl, which actually means testicle tree.
Testicle tree?
Yes, because the fruit resembles the dude's hanging jewels. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, as much as an oyster resembles a woman's biology.
The Spanish apparently found avocados so obscenely sexy that the Catholic priest prohibited their consumption.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So they just ate an avocado and then were just like they just went out and were lascivious everywhere.
All the time. Like cut
church became just a fornication zone. That's wow.
I know. But they're high in good fat, and guys, you need that kind of fat to make testosterone in your body, so it's good for you.
I like avocados. I don't feel like I eat them and then want to have sex, but
my sister has an avocado farm. She's on 20 acres of avocados. Yeah, so when I go there, it is guacamole heaven.
And does she just never eat avocado anymore?
No, she loves them.
She's sick of it?
No,
really?
No. I could never get sick of avocados. Oh my God.
Even if you ate them every day, if you had a farm, do you think you'd get tired of them eventually?
I guess maybe.
And you're eating them every day.
Yeah, I guess so. But they're so good.
They're so good. And they're so versatile.
So good for you. Yes. You can do so many things.
Yeah.
Yes. Just like testicles, I guess.
They really are so versatile.
They're really so versatile.
They could sit on your forehead. They could just dangle. They could do teabag in your mouth.
They go up. They go down. They can small, be hanging. They long. They can look like so many things. All right. So what was it that you wanted to talk about today? I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Okay, you were asking me about this whole responding versus reacting thing. I'll give people a little bit of background. Okay, sorry, we're going to be serious now.
Okay.
I'm going to stop talking about testicles.
No more testicles on my forehead.
Okay,
I can change gears.
Thank you for that image. So in my book, there's a chapter, the one that starts with the why of, let me just give you a little bit. MILF, MYLF, me first. Yoke the mind and the body. Love is a verb. Feed your soul. If you didn't listen to the one before this, we talked about the feed your soul part. Okay. So yoke the mind and the body. I do talk a lot about yoga here because that's what yoga means. Yoga means to yoke the mind and the body. And I share a lot about my experience in yoga and the things that I learned in that room, which again, I think you learn from physically challenging yourself, whether you do spin class or you do a marathon or you challenge yourself at fencing. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
There's, things that bring you into the moment that really get you connected with your, in your mind and body. So, and one of the advantages to becoming more in tune with your body is that you can start to recognize and practice recognizing emotions in your body so that you can respond instead of react in the moment. And so, again, this is sort of a little short book. I'll probably end up writing a whole book about this. But this is sort of an introduction to the idea of body-centered psychotherapy where you tune into your body to name the actual emotions that are going on, such as you think you're angry, but you might be angry. Say you got jealous about something, but what it really struck in you was fear of your loved one leaving or being alone or not being good enough, anything like that. Hmm. So sort of untangling the difference in your emotions around, so that you can respond instead of react. So did it make sense to you in the book?
It did. It was, I was trying to, what I wanted to talk to you about, which is, I feel like in my life, in teaching, believe it or not, that I feel like something that I've worked with on from many of my principals, we talk about my reactive personality.
Uh-huh.
Not with children.
Just with the grown-ups, the other teachers.
With other teachers. And in the business and I want to move towards, I don't have an interest in being a principal, but I do have an interest in moving more in a more political way and being involved in teacher advocacy and in that area, being an activist more for teachers.
Right. So it requires a lot of diplomacy.
It's exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. And so I feel like getting that under wraps and being more aware of the difference in myself of where when I'm seeing and acknowledging the feelings and when I'm just responding to the it's like the difference between responding and reacting and I in my body I don't feel I don't think I know the difference yet
so when let's say you're with your kids in the classroom, because in the classroom this is really you feel in charge, right? You've got your shit down, right? You're like very organized. You're in charge. You kind of know how to deal with things that are thrown at you, right? Okay. So, I would imagine you don't have a lot of anxiety and fear while you're teaching.
Is that accurate? Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
but it wasn't always that way. So in the beginning, I felt you've always, as an early teacher, you feel like you are reacting more.
But you're dealing with children.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So you can't react.
That's
so
right.
So how would you, when you were in those moments, there was a buffer of time that you, whether you're conscious of it or not, you probably put in there.
Oh, that's
right?
true.
If you were wanted to be reactive, there's something that makes you stop, right?
That's true.
Because you're dealing with children.
Yeah. And you can't just let it fly, what you're really feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that, so what I recommend in that moment is to really, is to, you know, take deep belly breath, in for three, out for five, right? And kind of tune into your body, right? And if you feel energy in your chest, that tends to be fear. If you feel it in your hand, your arms and your legs, like you kind of want to punch or run or kick, you're probably angry. Okay, you probably triggered your anger. Sadness, we tend to feel like in our face and our jawline and our cheekbone, you know. So I'm sure you've been in the classroom and wanted to cry, right? Like where you just...
There was one year, yes.
Okay, yeah. So, however, is that... is that around, you know, a fear of failing, or was it something really sad? Or, and this is where we, you know, we untangle these sort of combinations of feelings, right? But you see, you already have the skill of doing this with children.
Right.
Right?
That's
because
true.
You, because
I didn't
you
think of
give,
it that way.
You automatically give yourself the buffer of, wait, I can't just dump.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I can't just react.
Yes.
I have to, because I'm going to hurt them.
Yes.
You
that's
know,
not
with,
acceptable.
With just this energy, you know, that I'm going to... you know, throw at them, basically.
I have to filter.
You have to filter.
Yeah.
Right. And so the thing about being an adult is that we really want other adults to think the way that we think, or they want us, we want them to get us, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I see.
We essentially want to be right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I was saying when you first said that, I thought, yeah, it's true.
It's true.
We
right?
like to be around yes men.
Yeah, and you want to be right.
Yes.
And you want to be and you want to be understood. And I think that particularly the, you know, principals and such who have a lot of diplomacy.
Yeah.
I think they have some empathy and they're able to kind of it'll be you would be fantastic in that because you've been a teacher, right? To not expect people to understand your whole thought process, right?
Yeah.
So you do it with kids because you know
true.
They don't understand your whole thought process,
yes.
right?
Yes.
They're already doing that. Right?
Absolutely.
So, but the interesting thing is, I think that we get real reactive with adults because, especially in work situations,
yes.
you're afraid that you're going to not be considered useful, indispensable. Good at your job.
Taken seriously.
All of those things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think sometimes for me personally, I think one of my fears is that people will think I'm frivolous.
Oh, interesting.
And here's a really strange thing. I used to speak in a much higher timbre.
Really?
When I was younger.
Oh.
And there was a certain point when people started mocking my voice.
Huh.
And it changed.
Wow.
And I think that, and it was like, it went from a high, tinny, it wasn't, you know, high pitched, obviously, but it didn't sit lower in my range the way it does now. And it felt, the change was because I felt like people were not taking me seriously.
Interesting.
With a higher voice.
Yeah.
So, and I think sometimes that might be the base when you talk about fear, that's one of my biggest fears is not being taken seriously because I like joking around and because I'm known in the staff room as one of the people who loves to have fun and be funny and tell inappropriate jokes and things like that. I know this is a big shock for you and for all the parents who are probably listening to the show from my school. It probably won't be a big surprise to them either.
Right.
Even though I don't make those jokes with them, they still get my personality anyway.
Yeah. It shines.
It shines. What can you do?
Can't
You can't. Nor would I want to. You know, it's who I am. But that they will see that and that's who they'll think I am. So I think I work too much in the opposite way. To be taken seriously.
Right. Well, and then the irony there is that when you get too angry, people don't hear you. They don't take you seriously. Yeah. It's actually when you're angry that people take you the least seriously. They might be the most afraid of you, and they might like sit up and listen. But when you're, I mean when you're out of control angry, not like the smart kind of angry that you can do as a parent sometimes, where you can be angrier than you really are because, you know.
Yes, I know that.
You know
angry.
What I'm saying, right?
Because they need to know you're serious right now.
I'm serious right now. Yes. But again, that requires the ability to step back, right?
Yes.
And know what it is that you're trying to convey, right? That where you're not flying off the handle.
Right.
You're saying, okay. Because I think we have those moments with our kids where we're like, I'm afraid you're never going to get this and you're going to fail in the world and that I'm going to be a bad mother. And I mean, you're not saying this, but this is like the whole long
thing. That is the story
thing, right?
Playing
That's
out
the whole
in your head.
Story of like, how could you not see this? And it's like, well, they couldn't see it because they're a kid and they're not looking for this, you know?
That's
and
right.
So, and you can pull back and then you have to start saying, this is important because, okay?
Yeah.
When you do this, I feel like you don't care and you don't, you know, like this makes me feel like I'm just your maid or whatever the hell it is that you're, you know, upset about. But they need to know.
An eye message.
Yeah. They need to know that it means something to you, right? But it can't be all about your fear about being a failure of a parent.
Right.
And so when you need to have this diplomacy at work, it can't be all about your fear around not being taken seriously or somehow not being right and therefore being necessary.
Right.
See, that's a big thing. Like, we spend a lot of our lives just wanting to be right, because if we're not,
people won't need us around.
Why am I here?
They could do without me. As a friend or as an employee or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to always do everything correctly or, you know, I can't be human. Mm. Right. So when you have those moments where you feel like you want to be really reactive with the adults, not that you have to be condescending, but you have a skill that you don't even probably realize you have, where you can actually tame your reactivity. You know, where you have to say, this is okay. This might not be a second grader in front of me, but this is a human being.
Right.
Okay. And they're sort of in their own spin and they're making sure that the reason they're probably fighting and resisting you on this is because they want to make sure that they're indispensable. And everybody is in their own spin. Right?
That's
particularly
true.
In work situations.
Yeah.
You've got everybody is making sure that they still have a job tomorrow.
Very true.
Okay. So, and that's theirs, right? Now you don't have to sort of soak in that energy and you don't have to start. It's not like if you can think of people as cogs, like if they're a cog and they're spinning, they're not connected to you in such a way that you have to start spinning too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like cogs of a clock.
Yes.
It's like, no, I don't have to spin. I can acknowledge whatever it is that you're feeling. I can take pause. I also think that sometimes we feel we have to come up with the answer and the response right away. And I don't know that we always have to. I think there are times that you can recognize where maybe in the moment you don't know what you're feeling, but you can recognize that you don't know what you're feeling. And you can say, you know what? I'm going to wait until I'm in my office and it's quiet and I'm going to like think about this and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Taking that time and ownership of your feelings
and nobody
is tough.
Will ever, I just can't see how anybody would ever put you down a notch for that. Because that says, I'm taking this issue seriously.
This
says like, I gotta, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to sort out my feelings about this. Right. You know, and this is the killing the ego part of it too. You know, the cake part of it at the end of the book. You know, you get your ego out of the situation because your ego is very reactive, very much into maintaining its survival, you know, and you can take your ego out of it in that you don't have to have the answer in this moment.
Yes.
You know, and take your time and then sort through it. And that practice of kind of getting, okay, well, so, you know, does this make me sad that we have to change this program? Am I afraid that if I make this decision, I'm going to make 51% of the people unhappy? Or am I afraid that this makes me look weak? Am I, you know, like what is it, you know, that's going on here?
Yes.
You know, and then is that real?
Right.
Is any of that real? Because so many of those things are not actually real. You know, the things that we're worried about. Because probably people take you more seriously than you think.
No. I absolutely, they do. I'm getting to understand where it is in for my life about mm-hmm. the responding instead of reacting. So it's sort of like just taking the time to figure out where the feelings are stemming from mm-hmm. and what's really behind my immediate anger response, which sometimes it's a feeling of that's not fair.
Right. The injustice.
Yes. And then out comes something of my mouth of that's not right. fair. And then it's true. When I take time to process, mm-hmm. I will sometimes come up with a solution that could work towards what I thought wasn't fair that I mm-hmm. can then go later and say, you know, I was thinking about that and I thought maybe it would work. I don't like to represent the staff either. Because I also feel like I used to get into a real man of the people kind of thing.
Oh, yes. Champ in.
Yeah. And people would come to me to bitch.
Right.
And then I would represent the bitchers. And then and they would just learn that was something they could do.
Right.
Go to Hillary
right.
and bitch about it. And she'll go do something about it. And then I realized, I'm not serving myself here.
Right. And because you have to make sure that you're being authentic to yourself.
Is it really mine?
Yeah, is it really yours?
Yeah.
Is your axe to grind? Or wait, are you just, you're getting into the justice for everybody.
I'm reacting for them.
Right. Right. And I do think that sometimes as adults, when we get into that place of like, this isn't fair, I think some of that stems from, you know, as kids, you're always going to have moments of feeling powerless.
Right.
Right. And I think it pushes like old buttons of being yes. powerless or being invisible or your feelings not mattering mm-hmm. in this case, you know. And so we get really, you know, justice is actually an illusion. You know, that's not actually, it's really a concept. It's not actually something real. I mean, think about it. If somebody, you know,
yeah.
ran over your dog, you don't feel justice because yeah. they have to pay you $10,000. These are not equal things.
No.
You want your dog.
That's right.
Right? So justice is not.
It's just an idea.
It's an idea.
And it's different from both perspectives.
Right.
Both
and so
sides.
I think you have to, like in those moments where you feel like this isn't fair, you know, sometimes I think we feel kind of little
yes.
in those moments, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to kind of explore that feeling and maybe like take that piece out of it and go, okay, well, obviously I think it's unfair, but somebody else obviously thinks it's fair. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and so okay, well they feel justified. Well, not that you have to analyze everybody in your world, but if the more that you can sort out your feelings around any life situation, particularly in intimate relationships. I mean, work's a great thing to talk about because mm-hmm. because work stuff happens quickly.
Yes.
Right? And you don't have the intimacy of like, we're going to go talk about this later after dinner or whatever. This is like, oh shit. And I have to handle it in the moment and I have to handle it in this arena. And we really don't want to be taking drama home with us.
That's
you
true.
Know? And like, you know, we want to just, you want to stay authentic and in your truth and clear with people.
Yes.
And so sometimes, and it'll make people crazy. Like mm-hmm. I said, sometimes you just have to take time. You have to go, okay, well, this is really interesting. I didn't know that there were this many different opinions on this subject. I'm going to wait until I have some time to really look at all this before I respond.
That's the part.
And then everybody else goes home and spins, right?
Yeah, let them spin.
Yeah, they're like, what did they do? But and it really puts you in this place of I get to sort through this and get to my truth, and I get to, you know, because you're saying you eventually want to be in the position where you do have to make decisions for other people.
Exactly.
This is a big deal to be in a position where you're making decisions that affect all these people's, all your teacher's work day, all your kids, yeah. all the, you know, all the parents, everything. It's a big deal.
It is a big
you know?
Deal.
And so
yeah.
you want to be coming from a really clear, authentic place before you make decisions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the diplomacy comes in. Is it's like people, because people can bring you their shit and they can be so emotional,
mm-hmm.
right? They're just completely in their reactivity. They're angry, they're upset, they're scared. They're all the things they are. They don't even know they are.
Yeah.
They're just spinning and they come to you with it, right?
Yes.
And it's sort of your job to kind of just be with it and hear them as much mm-hmm. as you can.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
it's like when the second graders are like crying, like
there's
like
just thinking right? that
there's like snot coming out and they're
yeah
my eyes cream. Do you want another bowl of ice cream? Okay. You know, it's like, I mean,
but they're
really
fully in it,
they're
and
just
exposed.
In that moment and yes. exposed and feeling vulnerable because yes. they feel in that moment that somebody hit their ice cream bowl on purpose,
right?
You mm-hmm. know, because he was being crazy and he's not like what you know, like you finally yes. what do you call it, translate right the whole snot ridden
and it's amazing how
thing.
Much easier it is for me to do that with children at this point
right.
than it is with adults
and,
around
and
me.
And if we could all just look at each other as like little 10-year-olds
yeah.
honestly I mean
it's
everybody
true.
Everybody is just like 10 years old and yeah. when it comes to love and relationships everybody's 14
yeah.
I'm pretty much convinced we're all just adolescents. It's crazy. I think it's really funny because, you know, my mom's dating again and she's in her late 70s and I listen to all these dating stories and I'm like, Jesus,
changes. Like it always was.
Oh my God. That's
Isn't
so
that
sad in a
so
way.
So he didn't
like,
call me right away
totally.
And I wondered what he was thinking.
I sent him this text and I didn't know if, I mean, he only
oh
texted
God.
Me back two words and blah, blah. I'm like, Jesus, I'm having the same conversations that I'm having, you know, with my teenager, you know,
yeah.
with my mom. It's nuts.
The technology so, yeah. based.
We're yeah. all just, yeah. we're all these little like,
vulnerable
people
yes.
walking around. And I think that that's, you know, I think that that's the extra responsibility that you have if you're going to take on a job like that,
yeah.
you know, is that you have to have, I think, a tremendous amount of empathy, but not so much that you indulge everybody, you know,
right.
there's
yes.
really this piece of, and you have to sort through your own emotions around subjects and really, you know, you have to, I don't think you have to make all decisions non-emotionally. I think that, you know, there's
yeah.
a human element in everything. And I do think that's where really successful business people walk a really, they're very good at what they do. They walk a very delicate line mm-hmm. between making business decisions that are good for business and also emotional in an appropriate way
mm-hmm.
that actually helps their business and everybody that they serve.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of amazing balance that we see.
Yeah. I didn't take that, what you said, as indulging people too much. It's
right.
sort of, for me, that where that hit is taking time to, just first of all, taking time.
Yeah.
Take a moment to process things mm-hmm. and think about the different perspectives mm-hmm. of what's happening, the decisions,
right.
what thinking went into the decisions that
right.
were made and where that person is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, it helps you with empathy.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's not like you negate your own feelings about things.
No, and that's where the empathy
puts them
for
in perspective.
Yourself, in a sense, comes in where you stop and when you're confused, like why am I so pissed off that this person is even asking for this or whatever
right.
it is,
yeah.
that's where you have to go, okay, I need to explore this a little bit and just kind of, and you breathe into that, you do your belly breaths, you just have your little mini meditation and try to find where the tension is in your body, you know? And you might figure out like, oh, this reminds me of something, or this makes me feel scared. Well, what the fuck am I scared of? Why am I, you know, and like, and you get to know it. And this practice helps you so much in your relationships, your intimate relationships, because we push each other's buttons all the time,
yes.
you know, and sometimes you think you're pushing, you know, like I said, the anger button, but it's the fear button, or you think you're pushing the fear button, but it's really that you're just fucking sad,
right?
You know, because
yeah.
this, you know, feels like something else that happened to you or whatever, you know. So there's incredible intimacy available to you in relationship when you can really, you can't own your feelings if you don't know what they are. And the amazing thing about your body is that your body doesn't lie,
right?
Your mind lies all the time.
But your body's reacting right away.
But your body is visceral.
Yes.
Like your body is, these are feelings that you're not controlling. right?
That's so true. You know when your stomach wrenches when something happens.
Right. And when you, yeah.
And what's the stomach? If you feel it in your stomach?
The stomach for some people can be fear, but the deep-seated like heaviness in your stomach is usually rage. It's usually old rage. Yeah, it's usually accessing a time when you felt kind of powerless. And
fear and rage. So fear is more like bowels almost.
Like if somebody this is heavy. I don't want to get into this too much right at the end here, but if somebody lives in an abusive household, right? Mm-hmm. You grow up in an abusive household, whether it's emotional, you don't know what to expect, or it's physical, whatever it is. There's fear and there's rage about being afraid because you're powerless, right? Yeah. And so the rage is around being afraid.
Resenting having those feelings.
Because if you were to speak up about your fear and your anger, right? If you were to say, I'm angry that you're treating this way, you might literally not exist anymore because these are your parent. This is your lifeline. You know, as a child, we don't distinguish these things, right? So this is where, you know, when you're accessing old rage and you're really like seeing white light.
Yeah.
It's probably not really about the person that you're having that issue with in the moment as an adult. Mm. Probably not. I mean, obviously, I can't, you know, armchair analyze everybody.
Right.
You know, but that's where that heaviness, it's also usually you can feel some shame around it. Shame is very complicated, but very paralyzing. And so shame accompanied with this heavy pit in your stomach, rage, is really paralyzing. And that's and so when you feel that feeling, the best thing you can do is move. Get up and move.
Oh.
Even if you're just walking to the other side of the room or just go on a walk, because you can't think your way out of that feeling.
Huh.
What many people will do is eat or smoke or drink you know, numb down, sort of go into that heaviness, whatever it is, you know, because they don't have another way of managing it. But the more you can recognize it, because the more we can recognize what's going on with ourselves, the more we can find different ways to manage it that are healthy, you know, coping mechanisms.
That aren't escapists.
Right. Yeah. Right. So if, you know, if you can't have a job where you're in charge of people, where anytime somebody triggers you, you're going to go fly off the handle at people.
That's right.
It's just destructive.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
You got to be cool.
Yeah. You have to manage your life.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, don't be a dick.
Right.
Don't go suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah, you don't want people saying, if somebody tells you to do that, you're not doing things right.
Go suck a bag of dicks. You're not into, that is not responding, people.
No.
Okay, so, darn. So, I guess I shouldn't have said
that. But that is, and I wish I had the quote right in front of me, but the quote that I used in the book is basically that in that moment we have, you know, upon a stimulus, we have a moment where we choose our response. And in that moment is where our growth lies. And I really believe that. And I think that the tool that can help you do that is sort of this practice of getting in touch with what your emotions feel like. Even if you're not confused, like the next time you're angry, notice what it feels like in your body. The next time you're scared, notice what it feels like in you. Because maybe I'm wrong. I mean, not every human is the same, but maybe you feel your anger at the top of your stomach. Maybe, you know, like whatever it is, the more you can kind of get to know what that feels like, you know?
Where it sits in your body.
Where it sits in your body.
And you can recognize it the next time
you can recognize it comes up. Next time. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I say it in my book, like, you know, the next time, you know, this person calls, and you go, oh, that feels just like it does when this person calls. Interesting. Like, I've got that same adrenaline in my body or whatever it is.
Whenever that family member does that same number on me.
Or they say that same word their voice gets loud while they're drinking, you know? Like these are really interesting things. And instead of just feeling, because you're not powerless now, you're not a child now, you have the choice to stop and go, oh, they're talking about that shit again. Okay, so I don't like it. I have a choice. I don't have to react to it. Right. I can respond to it by going in the other room.
Yeah. Yes.
Leaving, changing the subject in a nice way. You don't have to react.
Yes.
It's incredible.
It's amazing how you do not have to.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But it is a skill, and you do get better at it. You know, you get better at it. And I really think that, you know, that little introduction in the book is sort of just the thing to practice to get better at.
That is definitely my goal for this school year.
All right, then. All right. Maybe I'll write a workbook just for you.
Oh, my goodness. I would love that.
All right. You want to take one more little tiny quiz?
Just a little quiz. Tiny quiz. Yeah, okay. I want to take it.
All right.
The MILF quiz.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. I need a little sound effect for it. Yes. Okay. So the first word that comes to your mind when you hear the word avocado.
Balls.
Balls.
Her forehead.
What's your favorite word?
Balls.
Balls. No, what's your favorite word? Favorite word.
Ooh, my favorite word. Caramel.
Ooh, I like the way you say it.
Isn't that strange?
Caramel.
Caramel.
I just say it caramel, like most, you know.
I don't know why
Americans.
Caramel is...
Caramel.
Since I was a kid.
Well, it's a very sensual food.
That is.
Yes. Serendipity is my favorite word, if anybody cares.
Oh, I love serendipity.
I love the word serendipity. I just want to say it all
day. I love what it is, too.
I know, right? What is your least favorite word?
What is my least favorite word? Oh, boy, that's a tough one. What word do I hate hearing? Oh, it's a phrase.
Oh.
My bad.
My bad?
Oh, fuck, I hate that. Why? Why my bad? Where did it start and why does it exist?
I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother
that's
you.
That's okay that it bothers
it's,
you.
Everyone's so, got their thing. Yeah. For my friend, it's the word trigger. Because she's like, when did everyone start saying that's a trigger? That's a trigger.
Oh.
The way you use it in a psychology-based framework.
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, she said, I don't know why everyone's saying trigger nowadays.
Oh, how funny.
Isn't that?
I've been hearing trigger for like 20 years.
See,
so
that's what I thought, too.
Yeah. She's just hanging out with most drinks.
Yeah, she is. Or it's becoming more colloquial.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming more of a, you know, a kitchen discussion kind of word to say trigger.
The phrase that I've always used and that Douglas used to use, he's a teacher that I talked about a little bit, he is activated. You know,
oh,
and I'm starting to hear people talk about that a little bit more. Kind of another way to say,
oh, you
know,
I see
when you're
that.
Triggered or you're activated. You know,
oh.
So yeah, interesting.
It is.
So, what do you wear when no one's looking?
What do I wear when no one's looking? It's a very good question. I think it's my loosest. Stained, like grass stained gardening jeans.
Nice. Nice.
And
only you would look good in gardening jeans.
I think so.
Okay. Oh, okay. And as a teacher, I really want to know this.
Okay.
What is your favorite substitute curse word?
Oh, my
you know,
favorite
like cheese and
substitute.
Rice or shut the
oh,
front door
oh.
Or,
yeah. Oh, man. Douche. No, I'm kidding. I don't say that.
That is not a substitute curse word.
Just kidding. I can't even say darn in some of my classes.
Oh, really?
Because some of the kids, their parents have taught them that's a faked out way of saying damn.
Oh.
Yeah. Or shoot. I've said shoot before.
And it's not okay?
And I don't say that anymore because they say, ooh, because their parents have taught them, which is ridiculous. I'm sorry, parents, but please,
oh my
shoot
gosh.
Is not
like,
a bad word.
Do you want your
They've
kid to
said
be?
To them, you're really wanting to say shit. And so you say shoot, and I know you mean shit, so don't say it. It's
so
like, Jesus, throw a kid a bone.
What are you supposed
what
to say?
What are you supposed to say? Oh,
girl?
Barnacles.
Barnacles?
Yeah.
Oh, tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce.
Yeah. That is one of my
You know what?
Though.
Honestly, I say, oh, man.
Oh, man.
That's what I say the most. Because it's the farthest away.
And I just
away.
Want you all to know that when she says, oh, man, what she really means is, oh, fuck, oh, shit, oh, damn.
Now you all know.
Now you all know.
Damn, you outed me, so.
I'm sorry, well.
I thought you weren't going to out me on this on the spot.
Damn it. Okay. Who is the sexiest person you know?
Obviously, sitting right next to me.
Oh, stop
oh my
it.
God. Are you kidding me?
Stop it.
Well,
knock
I can't say my husband. I can't, you know.
You can say your husband.
He's
but
honestly,
thank you.
But if you could see her, folks, you would know why I said
you're
that.
You're adorable.
Because she
We're
so
just going to go have a little love fest. Turn
oh
off the mic. Quick.
She's
okay.
awesome.
Okay.
It's all, it's just, there's, you know, well, but that kind of thing is, it's a, it's a, it's, it's a, 360. It's got to be like not just your looks and beauty, but also the way you talk about things and the, you know, your people who are really comfortable with their gestures, that are comfortable, you know, putting their hand on your arm. And there's just a sensuality to you that I just...
Thank you. Gosh, I'm blushing.
That I love. It's aww, just true, though.
Well, you know, I love you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all mutual.
Right. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Thanks for tolerating us for a second. Okay, so last question.
Okay.
We asked about, you know, the pearly gates before. We're going to ask where. I talked about myself like I'm a where.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about hell.
We are.
Oh, we're going to talk about hell.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so if hell exists,
okay,
and you get to send, you're there.
I'm there. Yeah, well, hey.
And you're at those gates.
It's lucky I don't believe in it.
Right? And you get to send one last post-it note to the world. It's just a post-it note. It's only got so much room. Okay. What would you like it to say?
Be good.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well,
can't be good, be careful.
If hell really existed and I was there.
Yeah.
Boy.
I guess that's so nice of you. You would like
try and
like
give him a piece of
everybody.
Advice.
Oh.
Be good.
Oh.
Then
that would make you an angel, and then you would go up to the pearly gates. See,
that's a nice thought.
You're so smart.
I would. Well, what would you? What would you? If you were, what would your answer be?
It was worth it.
It was worth it. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Well, you know.
Wow.
I don't know.
So it must have been really good.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a good
because
life, so.
While they're like pulling off your fingernails and burning you up for eternity. Okay,
that's not real. That's not real. It's just fake. It's fake Disneyland fire. That you
okay. Okay. Well, in that case, it was totally worth it. would be mine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Life's good. Go out and have some fun.
It is.
People.
It's short.
All right,
don't do it.
It's a little short.
It is,
and that's our show for today. Which I don't. I have no idea if we went long, short, whatever. Thanks for listening. Thank you again, Hillary, for being here.
Oh my gosh, what a
blast!
And
thank you to Todd for watching the boys so she could come out and play.
Yay, Todd!
And you can find me on Facebook as Sophie Venable. I'm not sure if in this episode we mentioned your band, but you got to look up Punch the Clown.
Yeah, dude, look us up on Facebook,
and you can follow me on Twitter at MILF Talk, and you can find my book MILF 101 on Amazon.com, or you can go to Goodreads and enter a little giveaway. I'm giving away 20 copies for free.
Ooh.
And I think you'll like it and it'll make you happy. That's what I want.
I
just
too.
Want you to read it and go like, that makes me feel better and like I actually can make my life better.
I can do something and right? It's not as hard as I thought.
Right. So there you go. So go out and have fun.
Yay.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.